Well then, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There we go. So, how do you make someone trust you? Well, already at the beginning, that's a flawed question, isn't it? Because trust isn't something that you can force. It's something that has to be built up, and it's built up by things that are proven, right? We don't really trust strangers. We wouldn't really welcome someone into our home that we didn't know too well. Some people do out there, and many of us think they're a little bit crazy to do that. You let a stranger into your home, how do you know you can trust them? How do you know they won't do anything wrong? Typically, we only allow strangers into our homes if they're accompanied by someone who we know and trust. Sort of a strange thing, trust, and trusting in people, because trust that we have in things and in people is something that's proven. We trust our families because of how they care for us, that they have proven themselves to us to be trustworthy. But even for our doctors, we go to our doctors and give to them our bodies so that they might care for us and help us, and we just trust them. They're complete strangers, but yet we trust them because they have proven themselves through their education and through testing that they are competent. So then the question is, as we reflect on our faith, why do we trust Jesus? Why do we have faith in Him? Well, it's for the same reason. It's because He has proven Himself to us. And He's proven Himself in many ways, but we get one little glimpse today in our gospel lesson. As we see 10 lepers who go to Jesus for help. Now normally this is a lesson that we use on Thanksgiving, where we especially reflect on the one leper who was thankful. But today I want to reflect on these lepers who were healed, all 10 of them. Now leprosy, if you're unaware, because I was unaware, leprosy is a disease that is curable today but was not back then. These people were infected with a bacteria which damages their skin and causes nerve damage. So these people are in a lot of pain. And also to go with that, by having leprosy, these people were unclean to the Jews. So now they are ostracized too. They're kicked out of society. They're pushed to the side. They're suffering in pain. They're also suffering emotionally as they're removed from people. So with this problem, with this disease that they have, they call out to Jesus for help. Jesus, Master, help us. Have mercy on us. But why would they trust Jesus? To them, He's just some random guy walking down the street. They certainly don't shout, "Jesus, trust," or "Jesus, help me," to every passerby. So why would they trust this guy? And it's because of the word about Jesus that's been traveling. Before this lesson, we see parable after parable after parable. Jesus has been doing a lot of teaching. But even before those teaching moments, Jesus is doing healing. He's healing and He's healing and He's healing. And so these people, having heard about this miraculous healing that He is doing and bringing to this world, they know that they can trust in Him, and they say, "Have mercy on us." And notice how He heals them. Just go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they're going and showing themselves to the priest, they're made well. This is bizarre. How did this actually happen? How did it all come about? Their lives were ruined by this horrible disease, and now they are clean. How did it happen? And it's not really a part of the equation. It's not really a part of the problem at all. They're healed. They're before the priest, no longer infected or afflicted, and they run and shout with great joy. They have new lives because of this. But Luke focuses on this one Samaritan who comes back to Jesus giving thanks. You can sense a little frustration in Jesus' voice. He's here to heal the Jews. He is here for the people that He's been called to serve. But they seem to neglect Him. Here we have a Samaritan man who comes to Jesus saying thank you And Jesus tells him to rise and go on his way because his faith has made him well. But also the faith of the nine others made them well too. They have been miraculously healed. Can you even imagine what this is like? Most of us can't. You see, these people with this infectious disease, well, not infectious, but this disease, their entire lives are ruined. By being unclean, they can't be around other people. Many of you were teenagers once. You knew what it was like to have crushes on people. Many of you, as you grow older and got married and started families, it's such a joyous thing that you were able to do that these lepers couldn't because of this horrible disease, by being thrown out by society. Jesus has given them a new, completely new life, unlike anything else. And this is the life that he offers to us as well. We turn to him for our eternal healing because we are infected with sin, like leprosy infected those lepers. And while our disease may not be visible, it's definitely just as bad and even worse. And to heal us, Jesus does another strange version of healing. Like he told the lepers to just go and show themselves to the priest to be healed, he goes to the cross, suffering, dying, and then rising from the grave to heal us. You would think that he would need to lay his hands upon us or to say some words to heal us of this disease of sin. But sin is healed by Christ going to the cross, dying in our place, and then rising to bring us life. And just like those lepers just trusted in Jesus to heal them, this is how we receive the healing from our sins, by simply trusting in him. By simply trusting in him to heal us. But it's not simple, is it? I mean, how do we know that we can trust in Jesus? How do we know that we can put our faith in him? None of us were there to see Christ crucified. Many out there don't even believe that he ever walked the earth. How do we know that we can trust him? And again, like those lepers, they have heard how Jesus healed. And so it's the same with us. By things being passed on to us through word of mouth, we have heard. God has chosen to work his Holy Spirit through his word, through our relationships, to have the faith passed on to us in many different ways. But especially today, I want to focus on how that's passed on through our relationships, through our families. As we look at that reading from Ruth, we see this beautiful relationship between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. We see this beautiful companionship and care that they have for one another. Where you go, I will go. But key for today is my God, your God will be my God. The faith of Ruth, or the faith of Naomi, is passed on to Ruth. Through this wonderful mother and daughter relationship, the faith continues. And why is it important? Well, Ruth is in the lineage of Jesus. One of his ancestors, one of his mothers, who brought about the promises of God. This Moabite woman, who was a pagan, brought into the faith by her family, and then brings about the Christ after thousands of years. That's how we give and receive the faith. It's through these intimate relationships that we have with one another. These intimate relationships of trust. That we know these people who have shared these things with us, and we actually trust what they have to say. And through these relationships, then the healing of Christ is passed on. Where people whose guilt was tearing them down have that freedom from guilt and sin and shame and are given new life. Look at the reading from 2 Timothy, verse 2. Paul tells Timothy, "What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, These are the things that Paul has passed on to Timothy, as we have a mentor-mentee relationship. And then through this trust that they share with one another, we see salvation and healing. But the problem that we see is that there are so many that we have that relationship with, that we have shared the faith with, but they're nowhere to be found. They're not in our churches. We see no faith in their lives. Our spouses, our kids, our grandkids, our parents, our loved ones, they're gone. Have we done a bad job? Did we fail? And I think that what's important is we also need to realize and understand how this faith is passed on in relationship. Because we have successes like Ruth and Naomi, but we'll even have failures like our Lord Jesus did. As you turn to the last chapter of Matthew, normally we look at 28:19, go and make disciples. We love that great commission that gives us that charge to go and share the faith. But right before that, Jesus has died, has risen from the grave, and is now gathering his disciples on the mountain. He probably still has some dust and crumbles from the tomb where he was just laying moments ago. But as he is here with his disciples, we read in Matthew that some believed and some doubted. The risen Christ is standing right before them, wounds fresh in his hands still, and some doubted. Just like we began. How do you make someone trust you? You can't. You can't force belief. You can't force faith. What we see throughout the New Testament is how we are called to be in control of ourselves. To flee from certain sins, to rejoice in what is good, to do these things that we do, or what the New Testament authors all call us to follow. To focus on ourselves, to focus on our own personal growth. Because just like Paul said, what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, when we do these things, when we live this life of faith, when we walk the path that God has put in front of us, we are doing these things with our faith firmly in Jesus, and people notice. People see our trust, people see our belief, people see how even in stressful and terrifying situations that we call on God for help. And through these things, people learn about who God is. We are called to be like that Samaritan leper who has been healed and is now giving thanks and rejoicing. And then those people who live with us, around us, God begins to work through us to begin the life of faith in their hearts, showing them where they can place their trust, more importantly, who they can trust for life. So then as we go our separate ways today, as you consider these things, as you chew on them and think about them, as you meditate on God's word and what he is calling us, I want you to especially reflect on the giving and receiving of faith. Yes, God has given it to you. This comes from him. But how has he done it? What relationship did he work through to bring you that faith so that you might know Christ and have eternal salvation? And then I want you to seriously look at all those relationships in your life and consider where God is calling you to continue these things. But also give thanks. Rejoice. Be like that one leper who has been cleansed and healed that has new life. This is you. Everything is changed and different. But also, look at those people that God puts around you. Are you called to be a Naomi or a Paul to share the faith so that more might know who God is? Think on these things, dear friends in Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.